Part 3, Roger Daltrey's 250 Fingers, or Social Networking as Personal Blankie. A participatory panopticon, if you want to be cynical about it. But you can keep that cynicism, because Ben Olmsted sees Facebook as the gateway to a brighter, more connected future, and he wants to tell you all about it. What's the reason? How many friends have I really got? You can count them on one hand. How many friends have I really got? How many friends have I really got? That love me, that want me, that'll take me as I am.
Daltrey is lamenting here the fact that he has less than six friends. I think he should be rejoicing in the fact that he doesn't have a mutant hand with 250 fingers on it, which is what he would need if he joined the millions that have thronged to Facebook. Hey kids, can I talk to you about you for a bit? You're probably stressed, you might be busy. Likely as not, you have a whole bunch of difficult things that other people, professors, parents, boyfriends or girlfriends, are suggesting that you do, telling you that you must do. In times like these, we seem to let things that are hard, but not mandatory, slip through the cracks. Things like washing clothes, financial planning, and hanging out with friends not in our immediate vicinity. We become like a deck put together with nails. We are slowly pulled apart by the elements, schoolwork, money work, familial responsibilities, and new, more convenient friends. What's a cure for this slow deterioration? You guessed it, an inclined plane wrapped around a metal shaft. That's right, a screw. Facebook will screw you, together with your friends, by keeping you in constant contact. And here's the best part, it's super easy. Easy to make friends, easy to feel secure, easy to keep close watch on your new friends. Easy, easy, easy! Facebook makes it so easy to check up on people that if you are a political dissenter in a country that crushes dissenters, I would advise you not to have a Facebook at all. but seriously now, our country celebrates freedom, so don't worry, Facebook away. The first step in watching over your friends is the newsfeed. This bad boy needs no work from you at all. You log in and boom, top 20 news stories about your friends show up. The pictures, the events, the hookups. But how will I choose which news I want to see, you might ask? To that I say, worry not. The servers at Facebook will decide for you. These beasts will take some of the control away. But they know your habits better than you do, freeing you from making poor social choices. Let's face it, they give you the freedom not to have to make one more decision. That's fine. But what if you want to take a little bit of agency into your stalking, or monitoring, well, keeping up to date with your friends? Use the convenient filters, like Recently Changed, which will highlight your friends that have changed their profile in some way. Or Recently Added, which can find all those people you haven't really gotten to know yet. If these filters do not fill your observational needs, good old-fashioned browsing is sure to turn up something interesting. Browsing. That sounds a lot like shopping. You might say, we don't shop for people, we shop for objects. Things that have a set of characteristics and not much more. Now don't you wish there was a way to do that with people? Let me let you in on a little secret. Only about 60 million people know enough to use it. It's called Facebook. That's right, boys and girls. Not only can you find a bunch of friends on Facebook, but you can turn them into easy to handle, easy to forget objects, like a box of tissues, some Tupperware, or a plastic shovel. Wow, that sounds dangerous, you might say. Those things are all dead. Don't worry, you don't need to kill your friends. All you need to do is treat their profile like the object it is. Remove the actual person from your thought process when you're browsing Facebook. That's all there is to it. So go on, kids. Just give them your email address and you're on. Now find a picture of yourself. You want everyone to know what you look like, don't you? Tell them a little bit about yourself, but not too much, just the basics. Who you are, what you like to do, your favorite movies and music. This is called sharing. Doesn't sharing feel good? Now you're in a network, and anyone else in your network can learn interesting things about you. Unless you make your profile private, but that's not very nice. How can your new friends learn about you if you do that? What? You're still worried about your privacy? No! You have to keep an open mind about this, kids. Just let me say that Facebook does not invade the privacy of the users. It helps them give their privacy away, voluntarily. I know what you're thinking. Why would someone give up their privacy so easily? Well, people give it up for social acceptance. And for security, because in the social network, everyone knows that everyone's watching them, just like in your friendly neighborhood watch. And, as with your neighborhood watch, you never know when people are watching you. so you can just assume that they always are. I don't know about you, but having my peers constantly watching is like a cozy blanket, keeping me safe, warm, and totally secure. Now, who doesn't like a blanket? No one. And that's why everybody tries to make their Facebook profile interesting and clever enough to warrant observation. Because if they don't, they won't feel loved and watched over. And they'll also be selfish, because without each individual doing their part in the survey, the neighborhood watch, the security blanket begins to unravel. So for all this protection and security, thank the wonderful people at Facebook who make it possible. And remember, that security comes from the knowledge that you are being looked over and looked at 24 hours a day, every day of the year. So be sure to do your part as well. Keep a close eye on your friends, because you know they're watching you.
That was Ben Olmsted. He's here all week. Today's program was produced by Jonah Willingans, Josh Riedel, and myself. Good luck in Portland, Josh. Thanks to Andrew Altrul, Eli Edwards, Jess from Holla Back, Ben Olmsted. Producer and engineer for today's show was Micah Craddy. And thanks to Bob Smith for his help in the studio. Original music for the show was written and performed by Kay Flay, Johnny Wynn, Chris Iyer, and Zach Katagiri, as well as Maxwell Citrone. For their generous financial support, we'd like to thank the Stanford Institute for Creativity in the Arts, Stanford Continuing Studies, Stanford's Oral Communication Program, and the Hume Writing Center. KZSU would like to thank the law offices of Fenwick and West as well. Remember that you can find a podcast of this and every episode of the Stanford Storytelling Project on Stanford iTunes and on our website, storytelling.stanford.edu. You can also find an interview with author Andrew Altrul there. Tune in next week when we'll hear stories about belief and non-belief. I'm Charlie Mintz. That was Living the Panopticon, and this is the Stanford Storytelling Project. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Palo Alto City Council meeting. Bye.